Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Listen to Talk with Marie Live. Get ready for some music, books, social events, and special guests. Here's your host, Marie.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to Talk with Marie Live. Today, I have a special guest. I have writer Natalia Lohr, who is a resident in Second Life. She's actually returning back to the show. I've been reading her blog, which is really great. Lots of amazing tips. She's also a friend of Blue, who recently was on the show as a guest, and she also gave us tons of great tips for us to follow in relation to writing. And so today, Natalia is going to continue that. And as always, I want to start the show by thanking all my followers on Twitter, Pinterest, and now Instagram. Lots of new people, musicians, of course, artists, and just a lot of amazing people doing great work all over the world. So if you enjoy the show, definitely retweet, like it. I am me. I love getting direct messages from all of you. And of course, if you're working on a new CD, album, books, any sort of new creative projects, definitely share them if you like. And if it's okay to play your music, I would definitely love to share it on the air. So now we're going to go and check in with Natalia. Welcome back, Natalia.
Hi. Thanks. Welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, usually I'm so used to having you both, Blue, on the show at the same time. I'm like, I don't think I've ever interviewed you guys separately before.
A lot of people are that way with us. Like, we kind of, some people think that we have, like, a hive mind because she and I are often a package deal, which is kind of funny because we're just really good friends. We just end up doing a lot together because we're on the same wavelength. But, yeah.
And I'm like, what am I going to do? And you guys are great at just piggybacking on each other. So I'm glad I signed up for your blog because this is the best way for me to sort of stay in touch if I don't catch you in Second Life and see what you're working on, which is always multiple projects. It's never really one thing at a time, right?
That does tend to be the case. It can be one thing, but it's one thing with, like, several things going on under it. So that's usually how it goes with me.
It's, like, layered. And so before I even dive into the interview, I just noticed you just wrote something today. And I actually wanted to thank you for reading all my crazy flash fiction a few months ago because that was just, like, so many at the time. And I didn't even know you write flash fiction as well. When did that start?
That probably started, I don't know, maybe. I mean, it started like 4 or 5 months ago, but it's only been the last month that I've been trying to post every Friday, like just a short snippet of fiction with a writing prompt. So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to keep trying to do it every Friday.
Where do you get the prompt from? Where do you get the word?
Just Google search it usually. I Google searched it a few months ago, and then I actually plan all my blogs out a month in advance. And so I just write, like, I just figure whichever prompts kind of resonate with me, and then I write, like, four of them down for the month and just put them on my calendar. So I kind of just Google and, like, they're everywhere.
Oh, that's awesome. Usually we have these groups in Second Life where, on a daily basis, they're not always flash fiction. People can write different, you know, whatever they want. And, you know, that's actually how, you know, the whole series of Lola started, was just word was given. And then I was like, you know what, I'm not changing direction. Whatever word you give me, I'm going to stay with this one character for, like, years to come. So it's a great motivation to come up with something.
Yeah, I've been to some of the ones at Milkwood in Second Life. I haven't done it recently, but I used to do it every day. Well, every day during the week. I didn't get on weekends, but I used to be there every day at 8 a.m. SLT doing their, I think it's called the 500-word snatch is what I used to do. So I need to get back to that habit.
Yeah, that one is great, too. I think there is one on Sundays now. I don't know if you've ever been to Book Island in Second Life. So on Sundays, there's a version. But Milkwood, every day, I think there is one in the morning. I used to do that as well when I had time during the day. And that was like a great motivator to sort of have something to write on a daily basis. But the fact that you plan your entries, I'm like, I'm not that good in terms of everything is really spontaneous on my end. Like, I'll think about it more than actually doing it. So to actually have a calendar, which is really awesome. So I'm actually going to start a little earlier in the month. I can't believe the month is almost over. So one of the first thing I saw that gave me the idea to talk a little bit of some of your entries was, I know you did a brief movie review for, I think, The Suicide Squad. You already saw the movie. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay. But I'll try not to spoil too much. I'm a big fan of, like, Marvel movies. My husband and I actually cosplay. We go to local comic conventions and dress up like superheroes for fun. So Suicide Squad is interesting because I don't think it has, like, the depth that some of the Marvel films have had, and it's not quite as, like, it just didn't have, like, a plot that you were like, oh, yeah, I get this. It's good. It's going forward. But it was still a really fun popcorn movie, I would say. And I mean, I'm a big fan of both Marvel and DC, so I like both kinds of the big two in comics. And I'm especially a big fan of Harley Quinn. And so it was really fun to see her finally get her time on the big screen. And it's one of those movies that I would go in with, like, just the expectation of having fun. Like, don't think you're going to learn any deep moral lessons from The Suicide Squad. So it's just got a lot of big action scenes. I mean, it was a little bit like the Deadpool movie in that it's poking fun at a lot of things, but it's a little less vulgar than the Deadpool movie, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting where that part of the genre is heading. So
did you see that first weekend the movie came out?
I think I saw it the night before it came out, because they always come out on a Friday, but usually they'll have like a Thursday showing. And so I usually do that with a lot of the superhero films, because I'm a big fan.
Oh, that's great. You know, the crazy thing about me, even though I've not seen the movie, I'm one of those people who's obsessed with the soundtracks of films and even like TV series now. Like, if I really love a show and music is a big part of it, actually it doesn't even have to be a big part of it. Like, a song will be playing in the background and I'm like, I need to know. What's that song? And one of the songs on there, I think I love Sucker for Pain. I don't know if there's like a clean version. I don't know if you paid any attention to that as you were watching.
Yes. I definitely do.
Really?
I listened to the soundtrack before the movie came out because they had it on Spotify. Yep. And so I know exactly what you're talking about. I really like that. And I really like Heathens by 21 Pilots from the soundtrack. It was a good soundtrack.
Yes. And I love that. And then I think Skrillex is on there with Purple Lamborghini for a song. A lot of people. Eminem is on there. Skylar Grey.
I love Skylar Grey. A lot of great people.
So I'm kind of, yeah, and we verse there. So, yeah, a lot of great music. And so you already did the, you did yours. That was like August 9th. I think you did that entry. And then we talked a little bit about, because your most recent one was also a book, but we're going to jump right in to talk about some of the tips that you gave about ways to be creative, which I love that entry a lot. Because in a way, I feel like it's almost related to a writer's block, or sometimes when you feel like you're just going to get this jolt of creativity out of nowhere, the way people think, like, oh, I'm going to get inspired and I'm just going to write. And I guess I kind of even get that from Blue. It's like, oh, you know, you should just make it a habit and just do it, because you don't always get inspired. But I think those tips are really awesome. Do you want to start with the first one in terms of the first tip in terms of to stay creative?
Yeah. So the first one is just like use Pinterest boards, which I use them anyways, because like I said, I'm a little bit of a seamstress/crafter, but I actually make Pinterest boards for my characters, and I like find if I see a picture online that reminds me of them, rather than having like 14 folders full of pictures on my computer, I just commit to a Pinterest board. Or I'll actually just go on Pinterest and, like, look for things. Like, I'll search, like, I'll search, like, elves or something like that, like, if I'm doing a fantasy thing or a fantasy character, and just try to find art that resonates with me that fits on that Pinterest board. And it's a really easy way to curate, like, ideas. So.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think even months or even years ago when I was working with my illustrator for the book cover, I was, you know, just trying to give people ideas sometimes for things. I was like, you know what, let me go look in terms of, like, sometimes the style you want and even sometimes quotes people have on there. Kind of Pinterest is really, it's a lot. You can see so many imagery and ideas that other people have that can even help you out.
Yeah.
And the second one
was schedule time, which Blue and I are huge about this, as you mentioned. If I don't get to quote unquote work on time, I'm a freelancer, so I kind of get to make my own schedule. But if I don't get to work on time, like, Blue will notice. She'll be like, why aren't you emailing me till 10 o'clock? And I'm sorry if you can hear lightning in the background. It's storming here. But I try to be at work every day at 9 o'clock. So I'm at my computer at 9 o'clock getting ready to, like, write or answer emails or whatever. And the benefit of that is, like, if you get in a habit of your body and your mind know every day, if you don't have all day to write, like, if you can only write at 9 o'clock at night for 20 minutes, then write at 9 o'clock at night for 20 minutes, because your brain will get used to being creative at that time. And then you're not waiting for the muse to show up, hoping that she shows up to bless you with her wisdom and make you creative. No, you show up and she'll probably be there. And even if she's not, you'll find that the work you're doing is just as good as if she wasn't.
Oh my God, that's a hard one for me. It's like, I know it. I know I should. And in a way, I think it's sort of tied up with you, with the organizing piece. Like, I know I should, because once you create that pattern, it's like you're so used to it. I think, like, everything else, even, like, having a healthy lifestyle, like, you do something 3 times a week or every single day at the same time, eventually when you're not doing it, I think your body, even your mind is like, oh, you should be doing this right now. And so it's sort of like, it's one of those habit-making sort of things that's great. And I guess you don't have to be spontaneous. You can still be spontaneous and plan it at the same time.
Yes, for sure.
And then the
Be patient was the third one. So there are times, one of my favorite comic book writers, Matt Fraction, and I mentioned this in the blog, he talks about, I went to a workshop that his wife actually taught, and she was just talking about his process. Her name's Kelly Sue DeConnick. She's also a comic author. She talked about how he will refer to it as catching butterflies. And that's when you're sitting at your desk trying to think of ideas and it looks like you're doing nothing. And it's really tempting to, like, distract yourself during those times, like go check Facebook or go look on Tumblr or go, you know, watch a YouTube video. But don't. Like, sit there and let those ideas sort of percolate rather than going and finding something else to keep you distracted. Because sometimes ideas just need to cook, and you need to wait a few minutes, and you need to, like, sit and work through them in your head before they can come out. So that's why I think being patient is really important, and I'm bad at it. So
I know that's really tough. And again, that one, I think even as a freelancer or even when you're doing academic papers, essays, that's also helpful. Because it's really tough. And I think sometimes people think, especially in your line of work, where people think it just comes to you. You know, sometimes people are like, oh, how did you get? And it's just like, oh, it doesn't come, like, you know, just like that. You just sort of like, let me pick up my pen or go at in your computer, and the magic just sort of flows out of you. I mean, some pieces I've heard people say just came out, and then other ones is just like, oh my God.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Very painful.
Definitely.
And then now we have sort of like the contrast.
Yes.
With a fourth tip.
I was like trying to figure out how to write this when I was writing the blog in a way that doesn't make it sound like I'm totally contradicting myself. But there are also times, there will be times where you are sitting working on something and nothing is coming. And you've spent 45 minutes thinking about the same idea and it hasn't, you know, nothing's come to fruition. So sometimes you need to stop forcing it. And that's the fourth one, is don't force it. So sometimes a lot of the writers that I admire, and I do this myself too, I work a little bit better when I'm focused on one project, but a lot of the writers I admire will switch between multiple projects. And like they'll be working on one story here, and then if they get stuck there, they move to a different story and come back to that other story later. I tend to, sometimes I'll like go clean the kitchen for 20 minutes, or one of my other favorite writers, Gail Simone, was like, go for a walk, take your dog for a walk if you're stuck. And sometimes just a few minutes, even like 10, 15 minutes away from a project, you'll come back to it and you'll be able to process it better. And the other thing, Blue will talk about a meta list, which is she'll write things on an actual list of things she needs to be thinking about that can't work on. And I think the same principle applies, but like sometimes you need to put it in the back of your brain and let the back of your brain kind of undo that knot and then come back to it.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I mean, like for me, like I'll do the reverse. Like I think that's one of the reasons I even started writing stories, is because sometimes you know, when you do one genre or you do a certain type of creative thing, sometimes doing the other part, you know, like you could listen to music or you can write poetry. Like sometimes I'll read the stuff that I don't read as a way to sort of like have my brain be thinking of something else instead of what
absolutely
I just need to get it out of my head. So that works. And then the last inspiration.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have, so that one kind of tied up with the first one in terms of follow people that inspire you as your fourth tip.
So this was something that I think this struck me recently because of, which I know we're going to talk about in a minute probably, but The Life-Changing Art of Tidying Up, that book by Marie Kondo. I've been trying to not only tidy up my physical space, but my mental spaces as well. So I kind of went through Facebook and I was like, you know what? This group I'm in doesn't give me anything that makes me happy. It only makes me depressed. So I'm going to unfollow them and I'm going to get out of there and I'm going to try to focus on following, you know, pages and people and friends that make me feel good and inspire me. And they don't necessarily have to just inspire me to write. Maybe they just inspire me to like feel good about myself. And Facebook's really nice right now because you can unfollow people and not unfriend them. So you can not follow them anymore. And you can still, like, they don't know that they still think you're friends. So you're good.
Right.
But, and then there are tons of cases.
Those are great.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying those, social media is great for that. Sort of, you know, plus and minus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't let it be a distraction. But also, I mean, the same thing with Pinterest is I try to follow a lot of artists and actually interior design type people that, like, I look at, they have, like, clean spaces and pretty aesthetics and things like that that just make me feel good. And when I feel good, I'm a better creator. So it helps.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think with Pinterest, for me, I love a lot of architecture and then stuff about landscaping, sort of things that have sort of like the same concept. People may follow the same kind of process, or musician, or things with quotes, but, you know, things that are like sort of beautifully made, which is, and clean, which is very opposite. It's like I'm not like one of those people who has like a very neat space. Like I was looking at your writing space that you created, and I'm like, there's no way I can pull this off in terms of, so like in this way, you have your little thing on the wall. It's like that dream is in my head, but I don't know if I can actually execute that type of tidiness the way I'm imagining it. But I love organizing stuff, you know, all the little things you put on the wall, your little baskets and whatnot. But I don't know if they're really reach the goal of being Heidi, which gets us right into Marie Kondo's book, which this book has been on the bestsellers list, I think, forever.
Yeah, it's been there for a while.
And now she has another one that came out right after the first one. So it seems like you're actually applying her methods. And I saw I Love Your Little Containers. I actually bought those little labels. But again, sadly, I haven't even pulled them out to even label whatever it was I bought them for. But I thought it was a great idea to actually have the little – you use – what do you call that? Chalk, right? To be able to have your
– yeah.
Your containers labeled.
Stickers, or I painted them. Like the littler jars on my blog, I just painted the little labels with chalk paint, and then I wrote on it with actual chalk. So, and it's interesting.
Oh no, go ahead.
Oh, I have been in that spot where you're talking about many times, where I've planned a. So one thing like that came out of me reading this book was my husband and I had on our back patio door, we had really ugly vinyl blinds that are like the long ones, and we have animals, so they constantly knock them like off and they fall and they break. And so I was like, I just want drapes there. And I probably bought the rail for the drapes a year ago, and it has sat in my craft room for a year, and I hadn't done anything with it. And so her book, like, I was like, no, I'm not waiting on this anymore. We're doing it. Like, we're getting these spaces organized and we're throwing things out. And it's an interesting process because she does say that you really need to stick strictly to her process. And I haven't been 100% good about that, but it's still changed. Like, my husband even said to me the other day, he's like, our house is just so much cleaner and we keep it clean. Like, that's the thing is, like, and we're adults who don't have children, so it's not that hard. But it is that hard, I guess. But like things have a place now, and I mean I mentioned in my blog, like I never think we have scotch tape. And as I was going through things, like we have like 7 dispensers of scotch tape. So now I know where things are. I'm less likely to buy a double because I have an idea of what I have at home. And
right.
I think not only that, but like it's almost soul cleansing because you go through old movies and old books and you're like especially when I was going through movies, like I was like, these are movies that I don't ever want to watch again, that hold no more significance to me. Like, why do I have so many DVDs that I just don't even care about? And so, that's her whole point is that you need to be surrounded by things that bring you joy and it just really uplifts you.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I get it, but then, you know, I think it's true for clothes. I mean, the things I can't really sort of seem to separate myself from, it's pretty much in no particular order. It's like books/magazines, my music, and then like my artwork, which some people could also add like, you know, your tchotchkes in there, little knickknacks that, for some reason, I just cannot just give them up. And then, you know, the worst part is, like, not just the tapes, but, like, when you discover you have, like, multiple copies of one book. I mean, to me, it's a sign that I do love the book, but it's, like, if you had this stuff, like, organized, there's no way you have, like, 5 copies of, like, the same title if they were, like, somewhere visible and you actually use them on a regular basis. But
yeah,
you're practicing it, so.
Well, I think, and I'm the same way. I come from a family where we are collectors, and, like, I have family members whose houses are so cluttered, like, you can't get into some rooms. Not immediate family. Let me just clarify that because they'll kill me if they ever hear this. But so it's, like, it runs in my family. Like, it's genetic to hold on to things. But I was surprised, like, when I went through my books, just thinking about her method. Like, she also mentions with books, like, don't hold on to a – like, if you buy a book and you don't read it immediately, you need to get rid of it because you're not going to read it. And I don't – I mean, I still have – like, my husband bought me a Neil Gaiman book for my birthday, which was August 2nd, and that's still sitting next to my bed because I've been reading other things. But, like, there were books that I bought 6 months to a year ago, but I had probably just bought because they looked cool in the bookstore, and I wasn't going to finish them. And so I thought, well, I'll give it to Goodwill, and hopefully someone else will, you know, get joy out of this item. And then even some books that just, like, I did love them at one point, but they aren't really a part of my identity anymore. And so they don't really have a space in my home anymore or my life. And so she also has you thank items, which is really awkward for some people, but I think it's okay to thank, like, a book for giving you joy and then being like, okay, now it's your turn, time to go on and give someone else joy.
Right. Yeah, no, those are great advice. But it's still also, like, acknowledging, like, it's really hard to sort of just get rid of things. But also, you know, just realizing it's like their function has passed or to you. It's no longer, you know, it's different. You know what I mean? It's like clothes that sometimes people hold on to and say one day, or they held on to from the past thinking, like, you know, it brings some kind of memory, or even just the books. Like, some people may have books from when they were, like, in, you know, elementary school or high school or whatever it is. It's like that's the book that sort of changed everything. And so I think seeing the difference between, like, this one really means something and you actually know what that thing represents, so then you know you definitely want to keep it. And then there are certain things, it's sort of like you look at it and it's like you bought it. First of all, there are some things people never even took out of their packaging. I mean, that's a sign that you just, it was like a sort of like a impulse because you never even, like, open it again since you got it from the store, kind of thing. So, but it's very interesting. I know you have a favorite part, which we already talked about in terms of sort of like books you have not read yet that you're holding on to. I mean, was there a part that you find easier than others to sort of to do?
That's a hard question. I think it was all actually pretty easy once I got going. So it's really hard to get going. And so I'd start going through clothes, and I'd be like, oh, no, that does spark joy. I promise it sparks joy, like, to myself. But then as I'd get going, I'd be like, you know what? It doesn't. And then I'd be throwing more and more things out. And so, like, some things like my DVDs and my video games, I actually made 2 or 3 passes through because, like, the first time I was really stubborn, but then the second time I was like, okay, no, I don't really want this. I don't really need this. And I kind of got into a space where I, like, had to stop myself from throwing some things away or donating them.
No.
But I think that probably the easiest thing was just going through video games because I have a new gaming console and a lot of the games I'm probably never going to play again. And so it just wasn't – they had no value to me.
So it was, like, done. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I think – I mean, it's worth – trying. And I love, one of the things I think that's great, again, I would never call myself a hoarder. You know, I do love the word collector. I think that's a better description for us. So I love sort of like seeing, like, one of the things I think a lot of designers and even sort of like other people talk about is like being able to like see your collection. I know you have a lot of, you know, fun gadgets as I'm looking at your writing space. And you know, there's something that you really enjoy. Like, sometimes it's like, I'll see, like, all my, you know, like smaller art pieces, for example, if you just kind of cluster them. I kind of like seeing them in groupings as a whole because, you know, it's like, it's nice every day for you to be able to look at something you actually love in your space.
Yeah, I mean, especially my writing space has a lot of art I've gotten at Comic-Con. And I'm very selective because it can be expensive, but I'm very selective about what I purchase. And then it also has a lot of, like, quotes, just that have, like, some quotes that I've remembered for years, just to kind of keep me, I mean, to me, it's like a giant vision board. Like, I use that blue tacky tape, and I just put stuff up there that, like, inspires me. But it kind of keeps me on track.
No, I love that. What is that? I can't really read the happiness quote in the middle of your writing. Ooh, thunderstorm.
Wait, Sorry. I had a hard time hearing you. What did you ask?
No, I think you have a quote about happiness, but I couldn't really read it on your picture.
That's so funny. You'd mention that. That is a Skylar Grey lyric. It's from one of her songs. It's "Don't be fooled by your emptiness. There's so much more room for happiness." And it's from her song with one of the DJ guys. I can't remember who it is, but sometimes I'm prone to like anxiety and depression. And so I keep that. That's like the biggest quote on my wall, is because it reminds me that like, don't be fooled by like, I mean, even just like when I get down at during, if I'm at my desk, like talking with friends or in Second Life and I feel like I'm lonely or something, it reminds me that like, just because you're feeling empty doesn't mean that there's not like, happiness is just around the corner and you'll be filled by it again. So that's why I keep it on my wall.
Yeah. No, I like that. I don't know if it's the one from Cascade, Room for Happiness one, or
yeah,
that's the
that
one.
Is. That's
yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I really, you know, again, like sometimes it's like I latch into like a line, for example, like in a, you know, like I could read like a whole chapter and then there are like these few words that just really grabs you. And that's one of the reasons I kind of miss sometimes getting lyrics from CDs, because some musicians don't do that anymore, where it's like you can actually read the words as you're listening to their music, which is really a better way to sort of connect sometime with the song, because then I can really sort of, the words mean so much more. So that's great. I don't have any of those. So what's next for you? Because I know today you did one. So are you aiming to do a post a day? Because this month you were like on a roll.
So my schedule is that I post Tuesdays, Thursdays, and then I do the flash fiction on Fridays. I don't have anything scheduled right now. And I kind of, even though I schedule it out a month in advance, sometimes I'll be like, okay, never mind, I'm moving that to this Tuesday. Upcoming, I've got like, I want to write a geek girl bucket list. And then I want to talk about The Resistance, which is from, I think it's Stephen Pressfield. He writes a book called The War of Art and talks about just the concept of the resistance and things that basically pull you away from doing your art. So
yes, that's a compact book that has so much advice in there.
Oh yeah,
very compact. So, and it, as small as it is, I feel like I borrowed that book like multiple times, and then that's usually a sign that I need to buy my own copy, because sometimes I get things from the library and I'm like, oh my god, I just pay so many late fees holding on to this little book. But a lot of great advice. And I know you also read, what is it called? There was another book you mentioned you read this summer about virtual reality.
Ready Player One. I think Second Life users especially, like there were a lot of things in there that I'm like, and the author spent time in Second Life. And so there were a lot of things that I'm like, oh, he got that from Second Life. It's a good one for like gamers and fans of virtual reality.
Wow, I can't believe this is set in like 2045.
Yeah, and that was one thing. Yeah, so it's not that far in the future. I mean, that's what, 30 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
More or less. And it's interesting that I did say one qualm I had was like he still mentioned that women weren't really gamers. And when everybody uses this virtual reality system, and I'm like, women are gamers now, and if everyone was using a virtual reality system, we'd have women there. You know, they'd be more common.
Yeah, I mean, I think the numbers, you know, are changing, but again, it's sort of like it's that whole sort of diversity inclusion thing where the people that are doing some of the work sometimes, it's like pretty much, they just use like their peers, for example, you know, and so sometimes it's like, let's say you're doing something, the chances of, I can't even imagine you, like, let's say you're putting like a crew together or a group of people to work on any type of project, for you to magically have like, you know, let's say 9 guys and then just like 2 women, including yourself. Like the thought of that happening without you thinking, like, you know, that imbalance just by You know what I mean? And people always say, oh, these are the best people I could find. And I'm always sort of like, seriously? Like, this is it? And then you see other people do it, and it's like, they don't even sort of go and say, okay, I want one of this, one of that. Like, you don't have to be that sort of, you know, it's great to be that conscious, but people sometimes seem to manage to sort of surround themselves with people from like all background, and they bring different perspectives to the table, and they have different skill sets. And so
yeah,
a lot of, some people don't, they may play certain things, but they may not call themselves, you know, gamers, for example. You know, sometimes naming something certain things, you already sort of exclude
a
number
of
people out of it. Just
yeah, there's a lot of gatekeeping even within gaming, where I play a lot of like role-playing games and story-based games like Dragon Age or Mass Effect, and there will be people who are like, oh, you don't play Call of Duty, you're not a real gamer. And it's kind of like, anybody who owns a console or plays online is a gamer. Like, it's changing a lot. I think especially with the development of like mobile games getting better and better, I think it'll continue to change like who plays games and who is more vocal about playing games. I mean, I don't use my mic a lot on Xbox just because you get creepy people like sending you weird messages. And so I think that girls may be there, but they may not be talking a lot because the community is not always super receptive to them.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So before we end, let's tell our listeners where they can find your blog, and they can sign up and make sure they know what you're writing next.
Okay, my blog is AubreyLynnJessen.wordpress.com. That's my real world name. My real world name is Aubrey. I'll just spell it real quick because it's a little complicated. It's AubreyLynnJessen.wordpress.com. So
we have like a spelling bee in the house. So I'm going to keep paying attention to your blog entries. I mean, I think just reading your work is inspiring because sometimes I feel like I'm not writing enough. It's like, you know, I do, you know, both writing and reading, sometimes I feel like I could do that on a daily basis, but they often go in the back burner. And I think that's one of the reasons I even love flash fiction, because, you know, there was a time I could even write like 100 words a day and making sure like something is put down on paper or on my computer. So that itself is a plus.
Yes.
So I'll be looking for next entry. Any thought what you may explore for the next one?
It's
on your calendar.
Probably the resistance, talking about that concept of things that keep you away from writing and why they keep you away and why you shouldn't let them.
Nice. So looking forward to that. So thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Great. So hopefully I'll find you in Second Life. If not, we have email, which you seem really great. Like, quick. Fun.
Yeah.
So have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you for having me again.
I want to thank all of our listeners and, of course, my followers on Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. I hope you guys enjoy the interview with Natalia. Again, you can find her blog, the link on my page. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/talkwithmarie, you'll be able to see all the stories that we talked about today. And again, if you're working on something exciting, definitely let me know on Twitter, send me a message, and I would love to plug it on the air. So until then, I'm going to close with a song from Jordan Wayne. Jordan, you can find her music on SoundCloud. And again, I'll add her link to my page. So until then, you guys have a great Friday, and I'll see you next time. Just the call of the darkness.